The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 541. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people?
How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
What's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale. Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, guys, you already know, back with another one. We don't know where Brian is. He may show up. He may not show up. So before we start, I got a couple little, corrections, from the last show, cause we were at, like going like, why are people going crazy over Helldivers, coming, Xbox because there were other Sony published games on Xbox. No, this is actually the first Sony published game or PlayStation published game. So here's the corrections. Death Stranding on Xbox was actually published by 505 Games on the platform.
Okay.
And MLB was actually published by MLB. And just so you guys know, this is not shit I looked up through AI. I went to Xbox.com, typed in the name of the games, and if you scroll down, because they tell you the publishers, developers, it tells you who published the game. So, yes, Helldivers 2 is officially the first PlayStation published game on Xbox. And it won't be the last.
to add more stipulation to that,
yeah,
those games technically are published by Sony, but on the Sony version.
Yes, but on the Xbox versions, you know.
Yeah,
that's why we were like, why didn't people go crazy over the Xbox version of these games? It's because they had that little out. Oh no, Sony didn't publish them. It's fine.
You know, that sounds like moving the goalpost.
It is moving the goalpost. That's exactly how these motherfuckers are. That's exactly what it is, Manny.
Stupid, man.
They're gonna do that same shit when Spider-Man comes out. They're gonna do the same thing. Oh, it's fine. It's Disney. It's not Sony. You know, it's absolutely moving the goalpost. You know,
I was gonna say, didn't they do that with the first Spider-Man? Like, at risk of sounding off up on pay meds and or just plain stupid, I'm pretty sure. Like, has it got a war come out? Like,
wait, what are you talking about?
None of those games. Yeah, none of those games have come out on Xbox.
Yeah,
except for right now, the only Sony PlayStation published game that, you know, official PlayStation published game on Xbox is
Helldivers.
Helldivers.
Yeah.
Theoretically,
like, there has already been PlayStation exclusive games that have already showed up on there, but now it's like the big deal now is because it's actually Sony doing it and not 505 mm-hmm. or MLB. But yep. Even though those were PlayStation published, PlayStation created games.
Yeah, but again, this is how they move the goalposts. They're like, it's the first Sony published game, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I just think that people just don't give a shit about as much about Death Stranding or MLB as they would, let's say, something like a Helldivers.
Yeah, well, that's also true. But you know, like you said, Manny, moving the goalposts. What were you going to say, mm-hmm. Brett?
I was again thinking of PC because I was like, oh, these on PC.
Yeah. No, they're on PC, but yeah, they're not on Xbox because that's a sticking point. Yeah. You know, the PC.
It's the Windows platform, so.
Yeah, but you know, people don't see it that way.
I do though. That's the thing that trips me up is I'm like, oh, it's my laptop here like is a Windows platform. So like I actually do. And so that fucked me up for a second. So
yeah.
PC here's the thing. I think it matters more because like people still care about Helldivers. I think Helldivers is one of those things that
Microsoft still relevant.
They're like,
Microsoft still new.
Secretly jealous of. It's still relevant. It's still new. People are still on there having fun. They're like, mm-hmm. man, I want to get in on that. Like, you know how many fucking Halo players who have just been wildly disappointed by Halo are going to be chomping. You know how many fucking Spartans are going to run into this shit?
That's a good point. Disgruntled Halo players, right?
Dude,
it's not a first person. It's a different type of gaming.
Yeah.
They don't like third person shit. At least that's what we've seen before.
No, man.
This is why they never did it.
Anyway, let's get into some questions. Obviously, for, you know, obvious reasons, most of the questions we got tonight are about Xbox. So let's get into it, man. Mob Hits. At this point, it seems that Xbox as a brand has gotten a free pass. I disagree with that. But with this recent shitstorm of incompetence and mismanagement, is it time for Microsoft Xbox to start taking accountability? And when I say that, I mean for the majority of the industry to boycott the Xbox brand. Whoa, that's what? Crazy. I'm going to assume by industry, you mean the community should start boycotting Xbox. Here's the thing, Mob Hits, what about the Xbox tax? You know, that's a real thing, right? Like I don't think Xbox has gotten away with anything. Maybe in the media they have, but I don't think gamers have let them get away with anything, you know? So I think they have been taking accountability for their actions for the past 10 years. You know, go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, they've been losing. Is he in the chat?
He's not, unfortunately.
Man.
That sounds like a troll question. I don't believe that. That doesn't make any sense.
No, what are you talking about? There are some people that, you know, I'm going to say some PlayStation guys that think Xbox has gotten off scot-free because the media doesn't really go down hard on them like they would want.
Who's the media?
You know, like game sites and shit.
Like game sites? Because I see IGN and all them still shitting them. If that's considered the media, then they are.
No, but they're not shitting on them. But they're not poo-pooing as hard as they would want. That's the thing.
But that's up to their own perspective on what they think needs to be said. What do you want? Do you want heads to
roll? We haven't gotten
to get fired.
Yeah,
they've already done layoffs.
That's what they want.
We hire somebody else, but then there you go, and that does nothing because that doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah,
it's just this is we've.
They're not trying to solve the problem. They want to see Xbox crucified at the stake. That's what they want.
It doesn't help the gaming industry.
They literally just did that.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't help.
They literally just went through and fired a third of the people who made decisions. Yeah. Right, the clearance was on the management level. Mostly,
unless those studios were all managers.
Yeah,
I mean, Tony understands why I'm mad at this.
Oh, because Brett keeps saying that.
Well, because it's a lot of people are going to say this.
Yeah,
most people got fired. Like they're cutting money to be more profitable. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
pretty sure a lot of managers are getting cut, but.
Yeah,
you're telling me a whole studio's filled with a bunch of managers, a whole studio that was making a game.
I don't want to revisit this manager talk again, like we did on the Thursday show.
There's
proof that a lot of the were regular people, you know, regular devs that were getting knocked off, and that's the real thing. And it has come out the fact that Microsoft wants to invest in AI. So what do you think they're doing? They're clearing the dance floor so they can spend more money. They can pay more money to fucking Three Mile Island run their fucking AI shit.
They already.
Good.
Let me ask a hard question.
Yeah.
Like, which is it? Like, is Microsoft doing a good job or are they not doing a good job? Because if they're doing a bad job and they fire a bunch of people, like, why come to the defense of people who are doing, I understand a bunch of regular Joes got caught up in that. I don't think the regular Joes that did a good job at their job, right? Like, if Microsoft has been not doing their job and they're not taking accountability, what the fuck do you want them to do? Like, hire more people? Like, they're firing people. They're cutting people out. They're cutting their losses. If you haven't delivered, boom, you're done. You're out the door. I don't understand how that's not taking accountability.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, like even if you get rid of Phil and all of them, somebody else will come and do the same shit. You know, and be like, you know what? We can trim the fat. I'm going to make myself look good here. I'm going to say, hey, I could save money. Get rid of that studio. Get rid of this one. And then what? Then you're going to ask for that guy to go too? This is how it works.
It's in the middle. There are going to be some developers who are shitting their job and getting through. There are going to be some artists who are shitting their job and they're getting through. There's going to be redundancies in job postings and management. And yes, there are going to be things where they're like, hey, if we attach an AI companion into this, we can have, you know, one person doing three jobs. Is that great? No. But is that the way that the future is going? Yeah. I mean, has animation not already been going that way? Have you guys not been using automation and Photoshop to, like, help with animation for, two decades now?
It's against the law.
Not AI.
Okay, tell me, Flash. Let's talk Flash then. How much is Flash in modern animation?
Flash is not AI. It's interpolation.
He's not talking about AI. He's talking about using tools to help make things better, you know, or easier. But we're going down a weird rabbit hole already.
This is not even.
But Brett, to your point, I don't think anybody here is saying that all the developers that were cut were all competent people. I don't think we're saying that. But I understand where you're coming from, where it's like, oh, the developers got laid off. That's a bad thing. You know, it's like, yeah, what if the developers sucked? You know, so I do agree with you there, but I don't think anybody on this podcast shares that sentiment, you know, if that's what you're referring to.
No, it just seems to be like a lot of people seem to be like, it's bad that they laid off a bunch of people, but also they were doing a bad job. And I guess I have trouble realizing how people can have both of those ideas in their head. Like, yes, I understand the loss of jobs. It sucks to be one of those people that got laid off. Like, I understand from an empathy point of view, but if I'm looking from like a strategic point of view, like, okay, either they're doing a good job and should keep doing that, or they're doing a bad job and they need to fix the reason they're doing a bad job. And some people in there are doing bad jobs.
I don't think it's only just people doing bad jobs. I don't think Romero was doing a bad job. He was just developing a fucking game and they shuttered his fucking studio. It's not like Romero didn't have a successful games that came out. In fact, he only just really got back into doing games where he released the Two Sigil sequel, the Two Sigil games, which were part of Doom. So, like, was he doing a bad job? He barely had a huge studio.
What game was he working on?
I don't know. I don't know.
He was still developing a game. He hasn't released it yet.
He's still developing a game.
I mean, I can't tell you. I don't know what he was working on. I don't know how long he was working on it. I don't know what he had to show for working on it. I don't know what his proposed budget was. Like, there's a ton of ifs in there, man.
Well, and that's the point, Brett. Like, we can't make assumptions that people were good or bad at their jobs or were let off. We can't make assumptions that all of these cuts are going to be good for them. What? Okay, so all of them were good. All of them were bad.
So all of them are.
We don't know this.
Yeah, we don't know anything.
We can talk. We know that there were redundancies in positions. We know that they didn't need as many.
Do we know that they got cut off, or were we just following the PR talk?
What's that?
Like, do we know for a fact that they were cut off?
With all the available information that we have, including the PR talk and the things that have been backed up by industry leaks, that is the best inference that we can make with the information that we have. Yes. Do I have absolute concrete proof? No, but I have more proof to that than you do of the alternative.
Wait, what? So we're just here assuming that we're going to take them at their word that they cut off all the bad jobs, and like they've done the past 3 years, cutting off thousands of bad jobs.
What do you mean by bad jobs?
Well, because they've been firing people left and right for years now.
Ever since it says 2023.
Yeah, and this is the first time that I've said shit about it. You know why? Because they said they were reducing layers of management. That's
exactly.
Why.
They virtue signal. You fell for it. That's okay. But the way we find out whether they did a good job or they cut up the right people or not the proof is in the pudding, and we still have to wait for that shit to cook. We can't I'm not going to give them a pass, or I'm not going to praise them. I'm going to say that they're
as the proof. I'm not going to say that they're wrong.
Well, we can be more decades failing after this. We don't know.
Okay, so where's the fucking proof then? When they succeed, finally, then we're like, oh, now they did things right. Like,
well, yeah, if they succeed, and then we're like, oh, I guess those cuts that they did a couple of years ago were justified.
Yeah, so we can't say anything on this for 2 years?
Well, we can't say anything definitively. Yeah.
Duh, yeah, no shit. But what we do have now is what they said, backed up by what Tony's heard.
Well, we've heard. By the way, Blitz is saying, oh, so Tango Gameworks was shit?
I'm not saying Tango Gameworks was shit.
Yeah.
I'm saying I don't know what they were working on.
They're filled with a bunch of managers.
And I don't know what they had. Okay.
A bunch of superfluous with management. No. They literally went to Tango Gameworks and said, we love what you're doing. You're a great studio, and we want to keep making more games with you guys and more games that are in your price range. And then they fired them. Same shit.
Wasn't that last time?
That was last time, but there was also the same situation fairly recently with one of the current studios.
He's talking about, because this time they specifically
said managers. Don't pull that shit on me. Don't pull that what about and what if shit on me. I'm talking about this time, and this time specifically, I did not.
It is always
endorse,
the same.
I did not endorse
thing.
I did not.
It
I did not
always
endorse
the
them
same thing.
Letting Tango Gameworks go. I did not. Do not put those fucking words in my mouth. I never said that shit.
And then currently,
what I did
and
say,
currently, when you're looking, when you look at, when you look at all the numbers, which have all come out, a lot of that isn't really of superficial management. It was actually quite like, how do you shutter the company that was essentially Forza Motorsport, who was making essentially a successful game? How do you shutter that company to half when they were doing what they were supposed to be doing?
And by shuttering, we have to do an update on that. They no longer exist. Studio's been closed.
Oh, so was that a bunch of fucking superfluous management?
Turn 10.
Hold on, the whole Forza game studio?
Yeah, Turn 10.
Yes.
Turn 10. The Forza
Motorsport management, right?
Yeah, the Motorsport team. The Horizon guys are fine. It's the Motorsport team that's done now. Yeah, but anyway, we're going down a weird rabbit hole here. Anyway, let's get to this next question, which is still related. It's all Xbox. Are we inching closer to a PlayStation Nintendo only timeline? Because he's saying, is Xbox going to die?
No, they spend too much money on all the software. If anything, they'll just be software like Sega.
They'll just be a software. That's it right there. I think that the future for Xbox and is just software. And that's what Microsoft does, do software. So I think there will be an Xbox, an actual Xbox, but I think in general, what is going to be their thing is it's going to be on everything. And they've been trying to do that for years.
I think it's just a service.
Oh, shit.
It's also that, too.
Where they're scaling back games. I mean, at this rate, there won't be any games in, but they'll offer Game Pass. They'll work with third parties. They'll just offer streaming. They got the Azure backbone, but I don't think Xbox as a brand. It is already diminished. It doesn't matter if they make some other console. The next console just sounds just gonna break, right?
Yep.
It's not anything special. So they're not long to be. I don't even think they'd be a publisher at that point.
Oh shit!
Look at what they did to Romero Games. Look what they're doing with Kojima Production. They're gonna get out of all of that eventually. It's just gonna be a service.
They should just move to Microsoft Gaming and be down with it.
I feel like that shouldn't happen. I think they should really get away from the Xbox moniker because the box suggests that there is a specific box. I don't think there is a box. There's
not going to be a box.
If everything's an Xbox, I don't think it need be called an Xbox. I think they should just go to Microsoft Games and cut the box out of it.
Yeah. So in other words, to answer the question, we are inching towards a PlayStation and Nintendo only future where they're the only ones actually releasing, boxes.
Boxes.
It's possible, man. That's the way it's looking, but you still got your Xbox handheld.
Maybe it's just the Xbox, the actual box is just kind of like the way their tablets are, they have those tablets if you want to use them, right? Same thing with the Xbox. You got it. You have an Xbox if you want to use it, but otherwise you can just use the service. And it's on everything because everything's an Xbox.
Okay.
Even Skynet.
What's up?
It'll be a Windows-based Xbox that lets you have access to Steam, but they get to charge you $10 a month for access to Steam, and they're going to make their money that way. Honestly, I don't think it's going to be a PlayStation PC. I think it's just going to be a PC thing because PlayStation can't maintain its direction either. I mean, a whole two exclusives of the year is going to carry them for.
PC. This is it. We're toward the end. We're toward the finish line for all these consoles.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
I mean, here's the thing. I think the thing about it is the race to the finish of a general audience. If that's the future, because I do still feel that in general, no matter how easy PCs are to deal with these days, I still don't think that they're general market friendly.
Yeah,
I definitely think the Steam Deck and the the other handhelds are doing a good step toward getting something that's fairly easy to get. Download your games and get it started. But then if they want to be that's in that space, they need to really think about creating a general audience. What I would like to call a general audience piano that sits under your television for regular people.
You mean a Steam machine?
Maybe
people aren't smart enough to use that though. There was a whole study report on it, like when it comes to just PCs. This generation has been dumbed down to simplify everything.
Yeah. Where
they don't
what, like, I mean, what's the big the thing that's happening on the job market? A bunch of people don't know how to actually use a PC because all they use is fucking tablets.
Yeah.
So giving people a normal PC under your box in PC in all of its glory will not work for general audiences. You need to make a stupid person box.
I like the way you put that. But yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. All right, Jolly Yellow Nerd. I kind of split his questions up because I want to stick all the Xbox ones at the top. With the recent big shakeup in the Xbox division, do you think Sony and or Nintendo could use a similar house cleaning? I'd wager not, because unlike Xbox, those two haven't been gobbling up studios in the last decade. Yeah, especially not Nintendo. They're good. You know,
They didn't do the bullshit thing like everybody else did and said, oh, hey, we're going to be making more money, you know, during the pandemic. They didn't pull that bullshit. So they're safe, right?
Yeah. They just, you know, basically put it in savings. You know, they didn't start buying up fucking studios or hiring a million people. Sony did some of that, but not to the extent of Microsoft. But here's the thing, you got to understand something, right? This is important. Sony, not so much, but their major thing is PlayStation. That's the big moneymaker. But they have their hands in everything else, right? Nintendo is purely, you know, a game company, like 98% a game company. Microsoft, Xbox is a side hustle. They could literally cut the Xbox division and it won't fucking matter to the big end. So you can't really compare the two in that respect. But that's also why those two didn't take on the bloat. One, Nintendo was just smarter. Like, no, we're not going to do that. And Sony just didn't have Microsoft money to do shit like that. So no, they're neither, especially not Nintendo. They don't really need to clean house. They're good. Sony maybe could do a little trimming here and there. Sure. You know, they've already kind of done it with Concord and the fucking studios. They let some studios go. Don't get me wrong. They have. So they can still do some trimming, but not to the extent of Microsoft, because Microsoft went ham with that shit. You know, as we've seen,
they went all Sauron on a lot of their stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and this one, that go ahead, Chris.
If you think about the number of people they fired just in this round of layoffs, they've had multiple rounds since multiple years, right?
Yeah.
But just like around 9,000 this month, that would wipe out Sony Interactive. Right?
Yeah.
That number decimate PlayStation, not all of it, but most of it, right? They're talking like 3-4% of Microsoft. That's like 50-60% of SIE. And Nintendo, you would have, what would be left? Nintendo Japan and a few satellites? Nintendo of America would be obliterated.
Yeah.
There's not half that people in Redmond. I think they may have like 1,500-1,600 people tops, so that you would get decimated if that number of lists.
Yeah, and Chris, are you just taking the 9,000 in account, or like the 13,000 or whatever the fuck that have been.
No, I'm just thinking it was 15.
It's like 15. Because remember, like last 3 years, it's like, that's a lot of fucking people. 15, yeah. 16,
yeah. All of, you know, Sony would lose an entire segment, right? You know, Sony's a big company. Nintendo, like you said, is just the video games. They would be, that's probably like 70-80% of their employees would be gone.
Yeah, so yeah, different circumstances. They don't need to do the cost cutting because they kind of, I mean, again, Sony could do some trimming, but Nintendo, they're fine, you know? All right, good stuff there. Moving on here. Kishak. Blitz has just looked at Nintendo. They have whoa, shit! So, Chris, remember, Xbox laid off. Oh, excuse me, Microsoft laid off 9,000 employees. Nintendo, as of March 2025, thank you to Tumeke, they have 8,205 people. They laid off more people than Nintendo has in its entirety.
Nintendo.
Damn, that's across all their game divisions?
That's everything.
This is Microsoft. And we don't know, because we don't have the exact number of how many Xbox employees were laid off. We don't have those numbers.
Yeah, it was a Microsoft. Yeah.
But think about it. The amount of people that Microsoft laid off is more than Nintendo's entire global staff.
And that's 8,205 people, including Miyamoto's Windows seat.
You know.
And people don't realize this. There's a lot of employees in Japan and America, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the satellite offices, some of them, there are very few people. Canada, I think, only has 40, 50. They run pretty
the
satellite areas, right? So there's not overall, like across the planet, right? A little over 8,000. That's nuts. That's nothing to Microsoft. That would destroy Nintendo.
Yeah. All right. Next up here, Kiss Shack. With all these firings from Xbox right now, why would anyone want to work over there with Xbox being the biggest butcher in the gaming space? Yes.
I said this on Imagine trying to ship a game in the environment. You know, you got guys like Double Fine and Ninja Theory that are working on. You know, haven't heard from these guys in a while, other than Hellblade from those guys. But it's like, who else is on the chopping block? Especially if you just cut down a company that makes one of the cornerstone titles for Xbox, which is the Forza, one of the Forza studios.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? None of those people are going to be safe.
That's a good point. If one of the three pillars isn't safe, man.
And I mean, 343 got a, I mean, excuse me.
Halo Studios now.
Where they, after that rename they just did, they got a pretty significant cut too. So it's like, okay, so who's safe there?
Yeah, what's up, Carlos? Yeah,
and it's a gaming industry thing. Like, gaming industry in general just isn't safe, mm-hmm. For folks to be working on for a period of time, unfortunately. So. Yeah, I would just say, like, just be careful, like, when you get to the game industry, because, jobs over there are pretty fluid.
Especially after the pandemic and everybody was those hires and all that thing. Yeah. It's a tough one out there, especially now, because everybody's, all the studios, from what I know, people I know the industry, a lot of the big guys are all, pulling their belts fucking tight.
Yeah.
We'll see.
How many of those people do you think actually went to work at Microsoft versus were absorbed by Microsoft?
That were employed by Microsoft?
Or absorbed, he said.
Like, I'm not sure that when you say, like, why would you even go to work for Microsoft? I'm not sure a lot of them did go to work for Microsoft.
One day
they're doing their thing, and next, like, hey, we just got by Microsoft. Oh, I guess I'm a Microsoft employee now.
Yeah, yep. You didn't go in. Like, if you're... You're going in specifically, right? You would probably be working for, let's say, Mojang, or you'd be working for, 343, or you'd be working for the other, and not really direct, but yeah, well, especially with the way they buy things. It's just like, you're Microsoft. You're good.
Shit.
One small side note. You notice that Microsoft making their own studios, they're a bunch of fuck ups.
Such as?
Well, the Halo studio hasn't been able to make a decent game. Gears of War company, I don't know what the fuck those guys are doing. They literally have to go buy some other company in order to make a decent game these days. All these titles that you just see right now, those are all games that were already in development by Bethesda and other studios.
Yeah, no, you're right.
The only Microsoft game that you could really say that really came out came out in the last few years is the last Halo game and the two Forza games that came in between, and that's it. Everything else was inherited from somebody else, even Hellblade.
I'm not sure that 343 could make a Halo game at this point.
I don't think
they can make it. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Anymore, I don't think they could ever make a good Halo game.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Jay Shep says you're probably safer working for Nintendo. Chris, isn't it hard to get a job at Nintendo?
Yeah, they're very selective. It's harder to get a job there, whereas Microsoft does the mass callings, but they also did mass hiring. Look at COVID. They were just hiring people and acquiring shit. So it's not like you hear stories. They're not like Google or Apple, like day long interview cycles. With Nintendo, it's like they're very selective. You can see the headcount is small. They run lean, try to acquire key talent. Whereas Microsoft will just try to either do like mass hirings or go out to schools. Nintendo's not doing things like going out to a university, right? And seeing the graduating class and their science. So they're not doing stuff like that. Microsoft will do that, though. Frederick.
Yeah. All right. We actually ran through half the questions. So if you guys in the chat want to ask us any more gaming questions, feel free to. By the way, apparently we talked about this in the Twitter chat. John Romero, he met with some Xbox executives about the game. Everything was hunky-dory. Then the next day, the news came out. Gone. That's some crazy shit, man.
I mean, that's what I've heard of when it came to some of their studio, their letting go of funding, or the studio.
I think it's not their call either. Then
literally the studio is doing exactly what they're supposed to be. They're hitting all their milestones. Management, hey, listen, doing a great job. Keep going. You know, you get for the next thing, and then all of a sudden, chopped.
Fuck, because that tells me that it's just a number, guys. That's it. Doesn't matter. It's like, yeah, it's a hierarchy. So you report to a team leader, and that guy's like, yeah, everything is going great. He reports to someone else, who then brings it up to another tier and says, all right, this is what they're worth. Okay, how much? Well, it's making this. What's the expected amount that we can make from that? Well, maybe about to cut them, but they're almost. I don't give it. We're looking at the numbers. Yeah. It's the number board. So yeah, it's not that someone's blowing smoke up their ass telling them, yeah, you're doing a great job. And like, damn, we got to cut them. It's someone above that guy.
Yeah.
And that happens. That's happened, I'm pretty sure, at where Adam works, where I work, where all of us work. Like that happens everywhere.
Mm-hmm. All
like
the time. Giving, I say it all the time.
You're given a budget. You're given the numbers. And if you don't meet those numbers, you have to cut.
Yeah, it's fucking insane, man. Brutal. JCWS, I understand if you own an Xbox in the ecosystem, but I don't know how anyone can root for Microsoft. Well, you should be rooting for any of these companies anyway, you know?
Like, it's not like
you should be rooting for the developers. You shouldn't be rooting for fucking for a conglomerate like fucking Microsoft.
you should just purchase what you want to purchase and don't feel like you're investing in a team. Like, that's the thing I never understood. When people see technology as teams, you see with Apple, right? All people, I have to stay in the Apple ecosystem. I have to. Apple's the best. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because you don't need to buy every damn thing that they produce. You know, you pick what you want. Oh, I want this? Okay, that's it. It's like going to a grocery store. You know, Coca-Cola makes all kinds of shit. But you don't have to buy all of it. You don't have to say, that's my brand of choice. I can't buy anything else. You know, it's like, just pick what you want.
No, Jay Shep, I understand. He goes, you'd be surprised. No, I wouldn't. I know there are plenty of Glazers out there. I fully understand. We're saying you shouldn't do that, but there's plenty of them. Plenty, you know? There comes on both sides, you know? I remember this one guy, he was such a Sony pony. He loved every Sony product, even if it was shit, just because it had that Sony branding on it. There's people like that, man. Mm-hmm. It's insane. You know,
yeah. The thing about it is, like, those companies don't, you know, obviously they try to pull this sort of grassroots thing, like, oh, you're part of a bigger bigger world or all that other bullshit. And that's just marketing speech because of the evangelism that happens when it comes to doing a fan, you know, creating a sort of community around it. But now you're even seeing it with the Xbox fans, where they're literally turning against it because they were originally sold, hey, we're all together. We're gonna go down the road. We're gonna be like, yeah, everything Xbox. And all of a sudden, the company's not saying that anymore, and that's why they're all fucking pissed.
Yeah.
No, I thought we were a gang. I thought we were all together. Nah.
Well, that was the thing. Ever since Xbox got absorbed into Microsoft, because remember, it was its own thing.
Yep.
For a long time, it was its own thing. Had its own budget, had its own stuff, had its own management. But once they got absorbed in, they're no different than any of the other departments for the company.
Yep. Yeah, and again, just like we said on the Thursday show, these were cuts for all of Microsoft. So it wasn't going to be like, oh, we'll leave the Xbox size alone. No, everybody's getting it, you know, because they're part of the bigger group now, like you said, you know.
Go ahead, Brett. I mean, you say everybody's getting it. And like,
At Microsoft.
At Microsoft. Okay.
Yeah, at Microsoft. We're talking about Microsoft here specifically.
Yeah, but like, okay, do you think it's like evenly being spread through the games divisions, or you think that they're targeting areas that are underperforming?
Well, again, like, you know, like we said, Microsoft, it feels they're doing this, you know, because, you know, there's too many managers or whatever across the board, you know? I don't know which division got, they did say this division had 12% cut, this one had 13%. We don't know those numbers.
No, but I can tell you, like, okay, let's go down the list here real quick. Perfect Dark, right? That game has been in development hell for years, and it was just canceled. Honestly, it's languished and been spending money. It's been in trouble for a while. I don't fault them for canceling that game. A lot of people were really unhappy about it. Rare, Sea of Thieves, and Everwild. Everwild, the longtime designer, Greg Bailey? And the executive producer, Louise O'Connor, left. And at that point, they had a whole studio and a game, and they're like, we don't know what to do with this. And they seem like they closed it down. Forza, I have no idea why that team got laid off. Honestly, that's the one that I'm like, that seems weird, but okay. I can't also tell you the sales numbers of the Forza game. ZeniMax, they do ESO. They were doing an extraction shooter. First of all, nobody wants another goddamn extraction shooter. We're fucking sick of these things. And number two, it has been pulling your attention away from the Elder Scrolls Online so much that your population has dropped by more than 50% in the last like year or so. So you are hemorrhaging money from your most profitable division. And I would say get your guys back in one team and do one fucking thing right instead of trying to do two bullshit things. I'm one of those people. Elder Scrolls is fun. It has been not as fun as they want it to be because it is clear their attention has been on other shit. And I find out that that's just an extraction shooter. Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. We don't want that. Nobody wants that. Halo Studios. Do I really need to go into that? Raven Software, Syndicate and Call of Duty. I don't know. High Moon, Call of Duty, Sledgehammer, Call of Duty. I can tell you a lot of Call of Duty players seem to have been pretty upset lately. So I don't know how things are going over there. Blizzard got hit. You know where they got hit? With their mobile game division laying off 100 people. Right? Nobody wants a Warcraft mobile game. Nobody. We don't. I don't give a shit.
Well, what? You don't have a cell phone? What are you talking about, Brett?
I do. Also, King Candy Crush laid off 10% of the staff, which is 200 people. Don't give a shit about Candy Crush. You probably don't need. Why do you need 200 people for Candy Crush?
Obviously, the candy is so incredibly difficult. It's not. 33 people can't make a game like that. What are you talking about, Brett?
Is it Candy Crush literally has a staff of 2,000 people? 2,000 people for Candy Crush.
That's insane.
You realize it's funny because you realize the people when they first created Candy Crush, it wasn't a whole department of people. It was just a few guys that did it and they sold it off.
Yeah. So like right now, in fact, there's 2,000 people there. I'm like, what the ever loving fuck, man? Like that. So like those are like the studios that were hit. I know of like, and I know that they may have been going through and cutting developers here and there, but like, those are the big developers, studios that we're at. I'm like, look, man, as much as I hate to say it, it does not feel like we lost the A team here. And I feel bad about people and I'm not cheering, right? I'm not advocating for this, but as somebody who would probably be the closest to advocating for this, AKA feeling the least bad, I'm like, look, man. Some of you guys didn't seem like you were doing great at your jobs. And that's sometimes what happens when you don't do great at your job. It just happens. We can't all believe like I've known incompetent people that have gotten into good fields. We all have. We can't pretend that they don't exist. Right. We all have that one friend that we're like, how do you still have a job? Right. And then that motherfucker still has a job. In a right and just world, they would track it. They'd track him down and fire his ass. Right. Like it's and I think, you know, maybe some of that's where it's coming from. But like as far as these companies that have been, you know, drastically hit, other than their Forza team, I can at least see partially why. And I don't mean to seem heartless here. And it's not that I'm advocating for them to, but like, look, we're at a point where games are costing $250 million to make. Right. I'm playing Tainted Grail right now, which is a fraction of what Skyrim developers are. And that game is kicking the shit out of Skyrim, right? Like I don't know if I need another Elder Scrolls after I've been playing this shit. And the fact that these games are ballooning this big is going to lead to another industry crash. So I kind of feel like we may have to do what we're seeing here and cut down to smaller teams that are able to kind of either adjust games or listen to their audience, or run alphas or something. Because when you make a $250 million game with the $250 million budget, it has to be a success. Because if it's not, then you have to lay everybody off or the studio goes bankrupt. And we can't continue to keep living in that paradigm. That's just going to give us like no Microsoft and a Sony that can release 2 to 3 games a year that also come to PC until everybody just gets PC and both consoles are dead. And like, that's not what I want to see happen, right? Like, and so I think we've been hearing, you know, we didn't like it when we heard it from, who the fuck was the first person that we heard it from that was that put out a whole report on how games are going to have to break up and start getting smaller and have less money put towards them. And everybody jumped on.
That was probably this podcast like 10 years ago. But
no, he's talking about Sean Layden. He was one of the first major guys to bring this up. Yeah. Everybody thought he was crazy. But then when Phil Spencer said it, then, oh my God, this is prophetic. Why has no one ever thought about this? I'm like, because you motherfuckers were too busy shitting on Sean Layden when he said it 3 years earlier. You know?
That's the one I'm thinking of. But like, we've seen this coming.
Yeah, Brett, are you done? Because I really want to get to something Jay Shep said here in the chat right now. Yeah. It's very interesting. But I also obviously want to get your take on this too. Okay, he goes, I hesitate to think that with Microsoft laying all these Activision developers off, that they know better than Bobby Kotick. They seem to do great at their jobs before they were acquired, though. Why are we blaming them now? At some point, we have to blame Xbox. That's an interesting like question, but he's saying, wait a minute, these developers weren't fired when Bobby Kotick was in charge. Now that Microsoft's in charge, they got fired. Did they suddenly just get bad? Correct me if I'm wrong with that premise, Jay Shep. I think
the people managing them got bad.
They could have.
Who do you think got laid off though? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when they got acquired, they had a new group of managers that the entire team needed to report to. And I think that's who got fired.
Yeah. My assessment was correct. Basically it's like, wait, how come they weren't fired beforehand if they were always bad, you know?
Because when you, you guys know when you acquire or merge a company that you have a lot of jobs.
That's the part I was going to say, redundancy. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think some of it has to be redundant because it's like, okay, if you're just working Activision Blizzard, you have your, I don't know, whatever guy, right? And now if you're absorbed by Microsoft, now there's two of the guys doing the same thing. One of them needs to go, generally speaking.
And it takes time.
Just to be clear, when I say bad job, that's what I mean. Like, if you have somebody filling one role, right? The person that both of those people report to is doing a bad job because they're just running with do you not know how many people are in your department? Do you not know what they're doing? That's a bad job. You shouldn't be running on redundancies like that. And unfortunately, during acquisitions, a lot of times that's what's immediately followed up by layoffs. And I think this might just be kind of them just finally releasing a lot of the management bloat. Like, and the thing that pisses me off is I think before this, they laid off really good studios, right? And they laid off really good developers because they're like, we can just contract out the developers. We can just contract out artists. We can just contract out video games. And then the last people that they fucking come for, it sounds like are the layers of redundant management. And that fucking infuriates me. That infuriates me to no goddamn end. And why do I believe that it's the management? Because it's the last set of people that they have fucking laid off. Because we know they've gone through and laid off the devs. Because we've known that they've laid off their creative teams. We know that they've been asking people to do the jobs of three people, right? So who's fucking left? The people making the big money and the people in fucking middle management. And they're not firing their goddamn CEO. Not yet. So who are they coming for? They're coming for upper middle management and redundancies. And even then, like, I still kind of say, like, that's kind of good. My dad was upper middle management for a company. And there were a lot of people who didn't know their ass from a hole in the ground. And it was a wonder that they still had a job. The only reason they still had a job is the company hadn't noticed what a shit job they were doing yet. So I've seen a lot of this shit, like, kind of from the inside, not personally, but, you know, as my dad, you know, as through his work. So I'm hoping that what the you know, because we've heard things that kind of seem to confirm that those are the guys getting the axe this time. And I can only hope that it's those guys, because those are the assholes that have already fired half the fucking talent. And then finally upstairs, someone noticed and went, you know, get rid of that fucking guy. We hired 12 developers for that guy's salary. I hope that was...
By the way, real quick, shout out to Hip Hop Gamer in the YouTube chat right now. What's going on, dude? Yeah, he says, he goes, big up to the Throwdown crew. God, one love, God bless. You already know. Anyway, Brett, continue.
I'm just hoping that that's actually who they aim this one at. But again, like, I really want to stress, like, that comes on the heels of, I think it's because they've already trimmed as much fat, the undeserving people, as they can. I think that so much of their goddamn talent is on contract work at this point. It's a bit disgusting. So I think they've been trying to run that lean to the point where they can't anymore. And now they're coming for middle management.
Blitz says the initiative was a team built from the ground up from developers from some of the best in the business, Naughty Dog, Insomniac, etc. And now they are suddenly shit developers and fired. My take is Microsoft were just looking for scapegoats to fire as they don't give a shit about anything but Call of Duty.
The initiative.
Yeah, they were the ones working on, you know, the Perfect Dark game.
Oh,
the one that was in development hell for 10 years. I think that's the reason right there why they're no longer around. You've been working on this game for 10 years and nothing to produce. Yeah.
Nothing to produce, and everything they came
to produce. Past years.
It looked bad. Well, it looked bad for years. People kept complaining about how terrible it looked for years. And for a decade, they hadn't finished anything. Like, how long does somebody have to do their job poorly before they, like, do get fired? Like, a typical development cycle is 5 years. And I realize, you know, a lot of things have gotten tossed around, but, like, that game looked terrible.
Yeah. So, again, just because you come from, like, a high prestigious studio doesn't mean you're talented. You know,
the initiative wasn't the only one working on that. It was Crystal Dynamics that was assisting them on that.
I'm not sure.
It was something that was going on between there where somebody was taking over some part of it. It was either Crystal Dynamics or somebody else was on that game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Hold on. I actually want to respond to this. So, like, when you say, like, oh, suddenly all these high profile gamers or all these high profile developers suddenly got bad at making a game, my response is apparently. Like, I'm not the one deciding that, but you saw Perfect Dark, right? Like,
it's 10 years. You don't even have to say anything. 10 years.
You tell me why all these star developers are making this pile of dog shit.
I mean, there's a lot of things on that. I mean, it could have just been a stop and a start. Somebody at top said, "Hey, this is not what we're looking for," and they redo everything. You know, there's a lot more. You know, there's a lot more to than just doing. A lot of times, you know, when you're working in the game industry, you're answering somebody else's request. So,
you get punished
for their bad decision. So, who knows? Obviously, we know. Obviously, it seems like Microsoft in general can't even really ship a decent title.
When it comes to their own IP. They're doing a bad job. Like, what I mean is somebody in there is doing a bad job. I don't even mean it's the really talented legacy developer, right? Like, I mean, it's probably the people organizing those people. Like, this is usually if you have really talented people not producing well, it's because of mismanagement. And I think that's why I might sound so heartless on that, is because
I agree with Brett. Like, it's definitely management, but let's look at upper management. How about, you know, Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond and Aaron Greenberg and Mr. Booty? Because I feel like,
I think those people are too public. If you hang those people, shareholders are going to freak out.
Even though they should take responsibility, you know, they're the ones in charge, you know. But unfortunately, you're right. They're too big, so they got to find easier scapegoats that won't be as public.
I remember when that whole thing was at Redfall, when that whole thing fell apart, Phil took the blame. Because he was like, I was listening to people. I should have really saw with my own eyes what was going on. And I was just listening to the reports. Hey, it's moving along. Everything is great. Okay. And that's what he was regurgitating on all his interviews. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. And then when it came out, it wasn't. And he took the blame for not being more hands-on with that. Because that was the thing. Remember, he made the rounds.
That's actually a problem, too. Because the publicly traded institution has a financial obligation towards maximizing the profit of their shareholders. BlackRock's actually suing United Healthcare for providing too much care to their patients after the CEO shooting. So shit's fucked up, but, like, they're legally obligated to do whatever bullshit they need to do to protect the profits of their shareholders. And a lot of times that just means fucking doing evil, dastardly shit and lying to their consumers. Like, it's it's weird that that's the legal precedent, but it honestly is, which is why you never trust any of these things. Yeah. So like, yeah, like even when I say like, you know, it sounds like mostly managers, the only thing I have to back that up is what they say, and it seems to be corroborated from the things that have the rumblings that I've heard, right? Like, so my best educated guess is that it does actually sound like management. Also, my idea that, yeah, they're going to come from management last, which is fucking bullshit. But so I'm working off that notion, but I'm not 100% sold to that notion. And when I say that companies are doing poorly or are doing bad, I mean, I think they're being mismanaged. So I just really want to put a lot of what we're talking about here into context. I think there's a lot of redundancies that have been unfortunately the result of a lot of mergers. I think that there are companies that have been costing the company a lot of money and have not produced in 3, 5, 7 years. I think that there are companies that just fell apart due to upper management.
This is always the issue, right? This is what we saw not too long ago, and I think it's still happening with the two big supermarket chains over in the Northwest that are trying to merge. And they're like, oh, we need to merge because we're fighting against Walmart. Everything's going to be great. It's like, yeah, if there's going to be a lot of redundancy, you're going to close stores because a lot of those areas had both stores. You're not going to keep both. Oh, well, they'll be fine. No, it'll be fine. No, they won't. Then they'll start shutting them down and consolidating, and it's going to be a mess. And that's what we see here. This is why a lot of people freak out when they hear about these big mergers happening. It's not so much about one being super powerful. It's like, what happens once they get everybody? Like, all right, now let's take a step back and let's see who do we need and who do we don't. And then we get these mass layoffs.
Yeah. By the way, Blitz says, Phil Spencer sat on shows recently and said both Perfect Dark and Everwild were great. He hasn't learned shit from Redfall.
But no, that's what I'm telling you. He is under a legal obligation to tell you that.
Yeah.
He's under under no obligation to tell you the fucking truth.
He won't tell you the truth.
He's under an obligation to lie to you on behalf of the
talking head.
He has to. It's like recently, you know, slightly off topic, but still related. You know, recently, you know, I saw a tweet about how like, oh, Ed Boon saw the first cut of Mortal Kombat 3 movie. He loves it. He's not going to say he hates it. He's the creator of Mortal Kombat. He's not going to say it sucks. You know,
he's like, man, this is a piece. Man, he saw it, and it's a piece of shit.
Yeah,
he's gonna try to advertise.
That would be news, though. That would be a headline. Yeah. Ed Boon sees Mortal Kombat, says it sucks. No, right. You know, so it's like it's stupid.
Can't listen. That's why I don't understand when they do these big interviews. And I was like, oh wait, I can't wait to hear what he has to say. It's all gonna be positive.
Yeah.
What do you think he's gonna say? It was like, hey, how's that new game coming along? Not so great. Working hard. We're gonna put another team on it. You'll never hear that. You hear things full ahead.
You'll hear it in due time. In like, let's say 4 or 5 years time, you'll hear Phil Spencer say, you know, maybe we went in the wrong direction back then, you know, and we're working to, you know, move forward and really take responsibility for the things, you know, a lot of, you know, talking with
your the corporate hands
like
speak.
This. That's it. Yeah. Do all the usual corporate speak.
It's insane. All right. Let's get to some of these other questions, man. This one's interesting. It's all about Xbox.
Xbox.
Yeah, this is Jay Shep, who's obviously been joining us all night. What are your thoughts on the recent post from developers concerning Game Pass? This is spicy. This happened over the weekend, right? So one of the developers from Arkane Studios, his name is Rafael Colantonio. He goes on Twitter. He's like, why is no one talking about the elephant in the room? Cough, cough, Game Pass. And then somebody goes, well, what do you mean by that? So he says, this is what he says. This is what made the headlines over the weekend. I think Game Pass is and remember, this is the founder of Arkane Studios. That's some random asshole. Founder of Arkane Studios. I think Game Pass is an unsustainable model that has been increasingly damaging the industry for a decade, subsidized by Microsoft's quote-unquote infinite money, but at some point, reality has to hit. I don't think Game Pass can coexist with other models. They'll either kill everyone or give up. And then an hour later, Michael Dowse from Larian Studios chimed in and he said, what happens when all that money dries out is the most vocal concern in my network and one of the main economic reasons people I know haven't shifted to its business model. The infinite money thing never made any sense. So you got guys from Arkane and Larian going, yeah, Game Pass, this shit's unsustainable. We've reported on this before. Other studios have said similar things, but it kind of always gets swept under the rug, you know? So what do you guys think about that?
How do they go?
It's the same stuff that we've been hearing for Spotify and every other streaming
and
service.
Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix.
This is not any new sort of talk. We've said that every single one of these services cannot sustain their own content. This is why you see the price of their subscriptions keep going up and up and up, because they can't sustain whatever they're putting on there. Unless they're putting out fucking indie games, maybe you could sustain that. With the subscription.
But what usually happens is when game developers come out and say this stuff, then people who are not game developers say, you don't know what you're talking about. The guy who works on these fucking games, who makes the money, doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay.
Hold on. He, in fairness, he's saying he doesn't know how Microsoft isn't going to run out of money. That's not information he has privy to.
Well, he didn't say that.
Right? He says he doesn't
understand how this is sustainable. He didn't say anything about like what you just said. He didn't say that. He just thinks the whole myth of Microsoft infinite money is BS. That's what he's saying.
Of course, there's no such thing as infinite money. But if Microsoft is pulling any sort of profit off of this, then
have they made a profit in over 20 something years that they've been around with Xbox? Has it turned a profit?
I don't know.
They said they were turning a profit with the 360 until Red Ring of Death happened, and then they had to throw all that good money that they made into paying for the replacements. And then, of course, the Xbox One, the VCR came out, and no one wanted that shit. So I don't know if they've ever really turned a profit. I think this is one of those where you just keep feeding it, and you're like, you know what, we made it this far. We eventually have to make some money out of it. And I think that was what led to the acquisition of Activision to just do what Microsoft does best, software. I was like, let's just gobble up all the software. We'll dump it up on our Game Pass service. Majority of the stuff that's on there will be in-house stuff. Yeah, we'll be bringing third-party in. But if we have the big titles like Call of Duty and all those other types in-house, then that will keep the costs low because they're not paying all the big payouts. Because that's the other part of it, right? That's what the guy's talking about, infinite money, how long. When these games go on to Game Pass, it's not like Microsoft says, hey, we're going to put your game on Game Pass and you're going to like it. No, they give them a big lump sum of money for X amount of time. And there's all these other little asterisks that link to it. Hey, if you hit X amount of downloads, we'll give you a bonus. If you hit less than this, then we cut this and we get some of this money. There's a bunch of different variables that happen. And I know this because this is the same structure that they follow from Spotify. And everybody knows the Spotify model because that was big news when they were like, oh, we're gobbling up all these artists and everybody's jumping. It's like, wait, how are you paying everybody on this? That's a lot of music. And then they were like, well, this is how we do it. We give people some shit contracts and some great contracts depending on how many.
Yeah, you know, depending on the musician.
Depending on the musician.
Okay. That was the Anita Baker thing where she's like, I don't make shit off of that fucking.
And then a large majority that were like, damn, I hate it, but why are you on it? Well, a few factors. One, everyone else is on it, right? It's already established. And two, I get to promote my live shows. And that's usually how they make their money, from the live shows, or you click on the merch and you buy their merch from there. So it's like an instant storefront at the same time. And that's what they hope for. Discovery, and that you're in your town the next time they show up and you go and you visit them.
I mean, look, I know that might be a direction that you go, but, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the statement sounds like it's saying I'm not getting paid enough. The statement sounds like it's saying everybody's worried about if we switch to the model of like Game Pass, what happens when Xbox's money runs out? Like what happens when they stop, when Papa Xbox pulls the plug on the gaming.
Well, that's it, right? It's the whole thing of, can this keep going? Is Game Pass going to last?
Yeah, it is. Dude, it made $80 billion over the last 5 years.
Apparently he doesn't believe that it's making any money because he's worried that they're going to turn the shit off and just be like, you know what? That didn't work.
I just looked it up. Over the last 5 years, the gaming division itself has generated $80 billion for Microsoft. Almost, what was it, like around 32% of Microsoft's total profit.
I think you just nailed it, though. For Microsoft, how much of that money are the developers seeing?
Well, whatever contract they took, whatever they agreed to.
Hold on. Yeah. If the developers are saying the problem is that they don't know how much longer this can go on before they turn the tap off, I assume they're getting paid pretty well.
Some are, some aren't.
Right. Some are, yeah. Remember, some developers said they haven't made enough.
The board. Yeah. Yeah, it's all
okay, there was some... okay, but that's what I'm saying. That's not part of this conversation. What they were saying in this conversation was basically like, hey, I want, if they keep paying me at this rate, soon they're going to turn the tap off, right? Mm. So, like, am I wrong?
Let me reread the statement again. Okay, he goes, I think Game Pass is an unsustainable model that has been increasingly damaging the industry for a decade, subsidized by Microsoft's quote-unquote infinite money, but at some point, reality has to hit. I don't think Game Pass can coexist with other models. They'll either kill everyone else off or give up.
Yeah, but they're trying to kill everyone else off, and they're making a shitload of money. Like, what do you mean Microsoft's infinite money? Microsoft doesn't have the infinite money. They're making a profit.
Well, to be fair, like that, this is only secluded to Game Pass conversation.
Yeah,
the profits you mentioned are everything. Like that's Xbox Live that went to Game Pass. That's hardware sales. That's money sales.
They actually sell game hardware sales at a loss. Most of that actually comes from games and online.
Call of Duty
and microtransactions, probably.
Profits from most of the profit is from service and
content. Games and their service.
Yeah, Jay Shep says he's saying that if it wasn't for Microsoft's quote unquote infinite money, the Game Pass wouldn't exist. So he's basically saying Microsoft can funnel enough money to this thing to keep it going, whereas maybe some other entity would not be able to.
Microsoft isn't funneling any money into it, and I think that's a major misconception that everybody's talking about, like this infinite money thing. Like, Microsoft is not giving Xbox money. Xbox is giving Microsoft money. Yeah. I'm looking at the financials right now. It is not the way that you think. It is the other way around. And I myself thought Microsoft was funding Xbox. But it turns out, last 5 years, they've made $80 billion.
How much did it cost them to get that?
Yeah, what's the operation cost?
That's the profit, so I don't know.
I mean, they spent $70 billion on Activision, so...
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking like on a... Well, they said over 5 years, so I'm assuming that includes acquisitions?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't have to look into that. Like, and I would actually be really interested in like having a discussion about like, is Microsoft's current business model financially viable? And is it paying its developer as well, because I think those are two separate questions, and I've gotten conflicting answers on the second one. Sometimes it seems real well. Sometimes it seems it doesn't seem real well. Sometimes it seems like people are saying like, look, this is unsustainable. They're not going to keep, you know, putting our games on here for free and keep paying us this much. I mean, it will, if they keep making this much money, at least they theoretically could. They might just be assholes and try and, you know, take over the market, monopolize it, and then, you know, cut you out. But that's going to be a problem because Steam exists as a counterbalance.
Yeah.
So I don't really know that that's going to happen. It would be an interesting conversation to have, but I think the thing I'm just really emphasizing right now is, like, they're not running at a loss. It's not like every year Xbox needs to go to Microsoft and ask for more money. They're making money every year.
By the way, Brett,
yes.
I want to say this. It's great to have you back.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Good, you have that back. Fire. That's the fire.
Feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they're making... Yeah, what was it like? Damn.
Oh, I just... Go ahead.
I'm cross-referencing my here because I want to make sure that I'm only seeing them at least finding from like a double-blind search. I'm at least finding them from 2 to 3 independent... I'm trying to make it.
Or 2 or 3 independent AI models?
No, actually, to see the source.
By the way, completely off topic. Tumeke, I wanted to reply to you, but I accidentally added you to the block list, so I got to get you back. So don't take that personal.
Oh,
yeah. Like on Restream, I wanted to reply to him. Yeah, because he said, like, man, I wish somebody, you know, we had somebody on the show that would fight this hard for Nintendo. And then I wanted to reply and say LOL, but I accidentally added to the block list. So I got to get him back.
He's like, damn, Tony hates Nintendo.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I was going to say, here's the thing. My problem, and I've said this from the beginning, too much of what happens with Microsoft and Xbox Game Pass in general is just a lot of trust me, bro. Like, there's no independent way of looking at this shit. We just have to take them at their word, you know? One of the reasons we don't do Xbox financials is because they bury it all together with all Microsoft, and it's hard to parse the shit out. Like, we could easily tell you there's how much profit Sony made, there's how much profit Nintendo made. Xbox, we don't fucking know. We have to just take them at their word, and obviously, I don't like that, you know? What's going on? The generally, he goes, if they never hit the numbers they estimated ever, how are they in the black? Can anybody ask Brett? Was that the question? I don't understand. Anyway, I don't know what the question was. Sorry about that, bro. Anyway,
what are we talking about?
He asked the question, but I don't understand the question. Okay, he agrees with what I said. Because we're on a fucking delay here. Sorry about that.
I'm looking at an Xbox gaming annual revenue, Xbox Series generation slide from their official financial report. And it says a cumulative total of $80.8 billion. And content and services seems to be, wow, like 80% of what they're doing.
Is that hardware, gross revenue or is that net?
All right, we're having too much dead air right now. Looking this shit up, we'll have to come back to it. Yeah, we're having too much dead air right now. All right, let's move on here.
I'd have to do. Look, if y'all would be interested, I would actually be really interested in digging into this and having a conversation. So, if y'all want to hear, get into it, ask Tony a question for next week, and Tony will give me a heads up, and I'll come with some paperwork.
Yeah.
Hashtag charts with Brett.
I think it's a really interesting topic.
Yeah, I think I got Dumeke back. Let me know. Dumeke, say something, bro. And I'm really sorry about that. I wanted to reply to you. You know, but I think you should be back now. Now, we got to get over to Dumeke. He's one of the real dudes, man. You know? Thanks, General Lee. Listen, we're just a bunch of, like, gaming dudes just trying to parse this shit out, giving us our opinion. We might be wrong about some shit, but, you know, at least what we're telling you is real. We're not glazing for nobody. We're not being paid off and shit. Trust me, we make no money off this fucking... We only make enough money on this podcast to keep the lights on, you know, like, you know, and shit.
And to give you something every so often. So.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, we make enough to give you guys free shit every 5 years. Like, we gave away a PS5, Pro. Yeah, we got Dumeke back. Let's fucking go. You know?
Fuck yeah. Also, real quick.
Yeah.
I'm not fighting for Xbox. I'm fighting for the truth. I'm mad at
Xbox. Uh-oh.
Right? I'm playing laptop. I moved over to gaming PC because I'm fucking pissed.
Yeah. But yeah, no. And Blitz, you know, this is something I've always said, man. You know, on Throwdown, you get what you know, we're all honest here, man. Like, I'm not going to just bring on a guy. Let me bring on a Nintendo guy to even things out. We don't work like that, bro, because it would be fake. It would be fake. So, and I know you don't want that. I'm pretty sure you'd rather have us be honest and talk shit about Nintendo than have some glazer on. I know you don't want that shit, you know? Plus, you know, Throwdown is, you know, we keep it in the family. All these guys on the podcast because we all know each other, you know?
Ironically enough, we technically do have a Nintendo guy of sorts.
Oh, Chris. and Nintendo fans don't like him, you know? They probably hate him the most.
We had to fire him at the coalition because you know, people were like, off with his head.
Off with his head.
I'm like, yo, Rich, you heard this thing? He's like, I'm on it. And it's like, poof. Like that, Chris Angel style. Chris was gone.
Due to middle management, we had to go make
Jay Steps goes, I don't believe it. This show is sponsored by Capcom. No, that's free advertising on my part. I have no money from Capcom. That is free advertising because I love Capcom. This podcast has integrity. Fuck the numbers. That's what I'm saying, man. We're a very, very small podcast, but we keep it fucking real, man. And you still got industry guys in this fucking bitch. So, you know, at least we're giving you the real stuff like some of these other jerks. You know, let me stop talking shit. Anyway, got more questions here. Another one from Mr. J. Shep. He goes, I'm 1,000% in agreement with your take that Spider-Man will be the first PlayStation single-player game to go to Xbox. With that said, my question is, were PlayStation gamers beta testers for Helldivers 2 for Xbox gamers. Don't you mean PlayStation and PC gamers, bruh? Sure.
They want to make that money.
Yeah, if you want to say, sure. Live
service games, they want to sell all the other skins and all the other BS that you can buy in that game. The more the merrier. They don't care.
Yeah. No, so but you know, the point is like, if you get the game late, even though you're getting the game late, you're going to get the best version of that product at that moment, you know, because all some
all
of the
time,
yeah. So yeah,
get the game of the year edition, right? How many times that get Fallout 4? What I bought that, I got all stuff. Oh, hit $20, get everything.
You know, it's like, damn, Adam, the butter edition,
right? The butter edition, all nice and lathered up, like you know, shit.
Oh man,
mantequilla, mommy,
mantequilla, you know, yeah. That's a fun question. All right. Who goes? What is Blitz saying here? I'm going to have to listen back as I totally missed all the Nintendo shit after I sent that message. Wife called. Oh, damn. Okay. So you didn't miss anything. Well, you did miss something. You missed me, you know, like, I guess it's interesting. So apparently his wife called. As I blocked him.
That we got sponsored by Nintendo.
Yeah. We just said, where the Switch at? That's over there. By the way, Blitz,
Mario Kart? It is amazing.
Yeah, Mario Kart's the shit. Blitz, I actually bought Super Mario World 3D. Super Mario World 3D World or whatever it's called. I bought that because I really like the 3DS version, and I always was curious about the Wii version or Switch version. Playing it on Switch 2, so pretty cool. And I may fuck around with what's it, Super Mario U Wonder or whatever? The 2D one that's 3D.
Oh, yeah, the 2D one.
Because I like that one on 3DS as well. You know, it's fun games.
That was a fun one. You have a two-player on that one, too.
See, Blitz, I hope you're not missing this shit, bro. Because, you know, even though I'm not the biggest fan of Nintendo, I love me some Mario games. You give me a Mario game, I'm going to be happy as fuck, you know? But I couldn't play those games because they look like shit, my 4K TV. But now they look good. Now they look good, you know?
Am I?
He said he fainted. You know, like, you got the vapors and shit, you know. All right, man. Next question. The last two questions are not about Xbox. Okay. What exactly is the Stop Killing Games movement? Before I answer, does anyone on this podcast have you heard of this?
Yeah, it's a petition that you sign up.
Okay, so
we've all signed up. Didn't you sign up, Tony?
You do.
I saw your name on it.
You saw my name on it, even though I'm not European.
Yeah,
it's
probably
okay.
Use a VPN.
Okay, great. So I'm going to give the because here's the thing with this whole Stop Killing Games thing. This is a topic that some of the content creators I watch have talked about, but they never said, because I kind of, you know, when it first started popping up, I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is. All I've been hearing about is the fallout, the drama, right? Like, so-and-so said this, so-and-so's got doxxed, so-and-so's getting threatened. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? But I didn't actually know what the actual movement was. So thanks to this question, Jay Shep, I had to, you know, look it up. So I watched some videos. So, and thankfully, some of you guys know, so, you know, we could fill in everything. It's a European, like, consumer-based initiative that's trying to get companies to stop, like, effectively killing games after they go off. Like, you know, they shut the servers off. You can no longer access the game anymore. So they're trying to be like, can we at least have something there where even if you do shut the servers off, that we can still access the game? That's what the initiative at its heart is about. And
to play offline.
Yeah, to play offline.
Or to give the ability
like,
to
yeah, like the crew. Servers. Yeah, yeah, like the crew. You know, like that. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, you will own nothing and be happy.
Yes, you will own nothing and eat the bugs and you'll be happy. So yeah, that's it. And then they've been around.
The opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like, if you buy something, you own it. They can't brick it or discontinue it or stop it in any way. So like, if you own a game, they can't just be like, whatever, and take it off. Like I've had this happen to me on series that I bought, like I bought Final Space.
By the way, Brett, you're kind of cutting off, bro. Like you're like roboting a little bit.
Sorry. Is this any better?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, I had bought several series of a show called Final Space before it mysteriously disappeared because Amazon decided to remove it from circulation for a tax write-off, which meant all of it went away. I no longer had access. Nintendo can break your console for putting in the wrong kind of card. It's against these kinds of things. It's the idea that once you buy something, it is yours to use and mod and adjust and do whatever you want with as you want, as long as you are not doing it for commercial properties. When you buy something, it is yours. The same way, if you buy a weed whacker, it is your weed whacker, not a proprietary license to use a weed whacker that comes with free hardware. And they could spend that license whenever they want. So that's what I've understood.
Yeah. So basically, this isn't just some like random petition. Like apparently the way it works in Europe, this specific petition, if you could get up to 1 million signatures, the European governments have to look at it. Like they're not going to, doesn't mean they're going to be like, oh, let's listen to them. Doesn't mean that. It means they'll at least have to look at it. So they want attention. Blitzko says, it's because of Anthem. Because apparently this thing's been going on for like almost a year now. The deadline was July 1st, I believe it was the deadline to get 1 million signatures, right? And they actually hit that. They actually went a little bit above that. But there's been all kinds of controversy. We technically already answered the question. That was what Stop Killing Games. But I want to get into some of the controversy that's been going on, because this is how it came to my attention. So there's this one YouTuber, I believe his name is Software Pirate or something like that. Pirate Software. He's a game developer, and he says the whole movement is bullshit. He was like, this is stupid. Like you guys don't understand how the industry works. And ironically, that actually helped the industry, you know, or the movement get more things. He got a lot of heat for saying that. He apparently got doxxed. They called up all his former places of employment and shit. Like, he left the game studio that he currently works at because they were just getting so much harassment and shit. So it's been really, really nasty. And now it turns out that the million, not all the million, but because all of a sudden they had like 500, 600,000 signatures or whatever, and then almost over, and that took almost a year to get, right? Then suddenly in the last week, it's ballooned up to 1 million, right? They think there may be some botting going on, which is actually illegal in this case. This specific petition is from the European governments and stuff. And if you falsify shit, you're going to be in trouble. So they're looking into that. And then various other YouTubers have just been going at it. You heard
about it because of all the controversy.
All the drama.
This spreads and the link spreads, and then it gets out there and people sign up. So I could see it blowing up just naturally.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I think may have happened as well. And then today, or at least over the weekend, there's actually a European gaming group that actually has people from big publishers, you know, like Take-Two and EA and all these other entities. Surprisingly enough, they're against this. They're against Stop Killing Games. They're saying that basically this initiative would take away the rights of a game developer to, basically kill a game that's no longer being supported. Straw man argument. You know, the petition's not saying that. They're not saying you must have your games, you know, online in perpetuity. It's not saying that. It's saying make it available to us, or at least give us the ability to have private servers. That's what they're saying. But this big other advocacy group, you know, that has a lot of power is now saying, oh, they're trying to take away our ability to cut off games that are no longer financially profitable.
Make
which
it
is playable a lie.
Offline, yeah. And put it out there in the digital archives.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, hey, it's out there. Do what you want. We're done with this, where we've juiced it out, and do what you got to do. But instead they just kill it and they rip it away and it's gone, and then you have to try to find it, and eventually somebody will have a copy. Maybe they'll pirate it, maybe they'll modify it, then people will jump back on
and they don't,
and then
but they don't want studio. That
no, they don't want that, because then it'll just draw more attention to it. But then on the flip side, they sort of do want that, because we've seen that with some other games where people, fan service, make their own version of it, and then it sparks the interest. I think that's the whole reason why we got all these Tony Hawk games back, because there was a Tony Hawk Underground that was modified and people were adding more tracks and moves and taking all kinds of stuff from the other Tony Hawk games, and everyone's playing that. And like, yeah, remember these games? These were awesome. And next you know, poof, we got Tony Hawk Remake 1 and 2.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like a counterbalance, but you can't just take things away. And it goes back to, like, it's a license. We don't own anything. Well, if we don't own it, then don't bitch when we share it and we give it to other people. Yeah. You know, let everybody do what they want with it. If we don't own it, what does it matter?
No, no, you're right about that. So that's the reasoning for it. One day said, like, hey, we have the right to kill these games when we want. And then it said, two, you know, if these games are just out there, you know, we can't protect people. Like, what the fuck does that mean? You know, like, it's really ridiculous stuff. What's the other thing he said? They were like, you know, we might be held liable for what people do with these games when they're not under control. No, you can't. That game's done. It's over. You're not liable for shit, you know? So, yeah, the whole thing, it's been a big mess and stuff. So that's pretty much that. That's the Stop Killing Games thing going on right now. You know who's in that group? Netflix, Sony. Of course they are. Why do you think the big companies don't want this to happen? Because they want to keep control. Yeah. It's all about control in the end, you know?
Yeah.
This is why they don't want games preserved in, like, the government archives or something. They literally said, we don't want that because then how are we going to sell the games? They said that, you know?
But the thing about it is, like, it's like you've already done, you run your course on these things. And in fact, some of you motherfuckers barely keep good records on your own games in general.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you do need an external company, external entity to keep track of your bullshit because you barely keep track of it on your own.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
And I know that from fucking experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Think if books follow that logic, we wouldn't have libraries.
Yeah.
Everybody would just hold on their own ship. Like, I'm not going to put it for everybody just to walk in and read. No. Nope. We publish these books. It's on our own thing. We're keeping it secret. Nope. It's not for everybody.
Yeah. Bliss says movies are much better. So much content is lost. Yeah. Yeah, that's how it is, though.
What is it? What's the? They say pretty much every single day we lose about five moves because of just because of deterioration, and the bigger one is data rot.
Yeah,
that's the one that nobody's talking about.
We're talking about it.
In other words, yeah, discs or essentially them. There are whole companies devoted to essentially keep making sure that films that were edited digitally still continue to work on modern, you know, on modern software. Because if that isn't moved over, the movie would just get lost.
Yeah,
that's fucking crazy.
It's insane. Yeah. All right, and the last question of the night. For Mr. Jolly Yellow Nerd, who I saw pop up in the chat earlier. Shout out to you, sir. Other than the new Donkey Kong game on Switch 2, what games are you guys looking forward to this month, in the month of July? I pulled up a list here. I'll name some of the bigger ones. Mecha All Break. Right. Yeah, Mecha Break is coming. Let me see here.
Let's go to Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk's right there. I'm just going in whatever order this is. So Tony Hawk got another Destiny 2 expansion because, of course, there's another Destiny 2 expansion.
To make all that money.
Yeah.
especially since Marathon's is not coming out anytime soon.
Look at that, Adam. RoboCop's getting an expansion. Rogue City.
It's essentially the plot of the Judge Dredd film.
Oh, okay. Nice.
The people want that game is like dirt cheap, especially on PC right now. $5. You can get the Alex Murphy edition. So it's all over the place. You want to pick that up. And you get a Steam code. So if you're.
I think I got it for free. Steam. They were giving it on PSN last month.
So I there you go. It. Or if you're on PlayStation, whatever, you know, pick it up. It's worth playing. It's fun.
Yeah, you can't get it now. But yeah, I got it last month. What else? Killing Floor 3. I thought that game was already out. Guess not.
Gotta be a remaster or something.
Yeah, Super Mario Jamboree. I know that's a Switch edition. Wu Chang, that's Rich's favorite game.
Wu Chang, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, not Wu Tang. Wu Chang.
Wu Chang.
The remaster of the Wu Tang video game. Remember that fighting game?
I remember that. Yeah. System Shock 2, 25th anniversary remaster, and Ninja Gaiden Ragebound. That's the 2D one, I believe.
That should be good.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm you know, Dumek, I hope you're there. Because the game I actually am looking forward to the most in July is Donkey Kong. It's made by the same people who made Mario Odyssey. Let's fucking go. That's my favorite game on Switch.
Fun.
You know?
From the trailers.
Absolutely gonna check out that Ninja Gaiden too, though. So yeah, Donkey Kong and Ninja Gaiden for me. What about you guys? Adam, I know fucking Tony Hawk for you.
Tony Hawk and the Ninja Gaiden because it's a side scroll. If it's a regular one, I can't tell.
Yeah, it's a side scrolling one. Yeah.
So yeah, so I'll go with that. It reminds me of Mark of the Ninja. Remember that one?
I remember.
Old one. I was like, oh, there's gonna be more of that. All right, let's go with that. Those are the two I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. Anybody else? What games are you looking forward to in July?
I'm with you, Tony.
Yeah. Donkey Kong and Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden.
Those seem to be the big ones. Man, you going to check out that Ninja Gaiden 2D?
Yeah, I would see the Ninja Gaiden game. I was hoping for, what was it, the Marvel beat-em-up game, but I don't know when that thing now.
Yeah, the Galaxy one, yeah. Whatever,
that's all going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna,
yeah. What's up, Rich?
We should all play that.
Oh, yeah, let me answer this question. Sorry, I had some issues editing something.
Yeah.
Ninja Gaiden, Ragebound, number one. I actually have something I'm dropping tomorrow related to that, so I'll talk about that later. Ooh. Yeah, Ninja Gaiden, Ragebound, and of course, like Tony said, Wu-Chang, Fallen Feathers.
There you go. Wu-Chang ain't nothing to fuck with.
Wu-Chang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Yeah. Chris, anything you're looking forward to? Ninja Gaiden, I already know, right?
Oh.
Ninja Gaiden, and yeah, I'm going to get that Robocop.
Nice. Yeah. Brett, you looking forward to anything in July? Some of the games I listed?
I'm with you, buddy.
All right. Ninja Gaiden. There you go. Ninja Gaiden, man. You can't go wrong with that.
Ninja Gaiden, Wu-Tang. I'm slightly interested in Grounded 2. It's one of those Grounded 1.
I don't see it on here on the list.
It's
for July games. July games.
Yeah, it goes into early access July 20th.
Yeah, there's a preview.
Okay. Oh, there it is. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, there you go.
You're right.
Okay, so because the game has such a long development cycle, it's so kind of in line with its community. I'm not really sure. Like, it will probably have all of the functions of the game, just none of the story. And like when I first played Grounded, that was how I played. I played kind of through it as a survival sandbox game, and then I came back later and did the whole story thing once they had added a bunch of stuff. I'm going to wait and hear how developed it is, because this is their second game, so I'm wondering if it's going to come out in a little bit more finished state, or if it's going to be a little bit more raw and I should wait a while. I'm curious about that one.
Yeah. All right, man, that's going to do it. Another good show. Shout out to everybody in the chat tonight. Kept it lively. You know, we like that. All right, man, let's plug some stuff. Adam, what's going on with the TV terminal?
Going through with Murderbot. We're heading into the last week for that. This is a last episode. That's an Apple TV show. That's a great one we've been covering. Revival is picking up. We're just finished episode 4. That's out there, which is funny because that's the one with CM Punk. He makes his on-screen debut. I made a little YouTube short on that and got some interesting comments because a lot of people freaking out because they're like, how are you seeing this early? Where is this? I'm like, they're looking at Peacock and there's a delay of 1 week. So the show airs on Sci-Fi, and then the next week that episode airs on Peacock. So the episode and stuff that I've been talking about is all, you had to have Sci-Fi Channel to see it. It's not on Peacock right now. So a lot of people were upset by that. They were like, I see it on Peacock. How come I don't get these episodes? It's a delay. And then some people don't even know what Sci-Fi is. Because if you're a younger person, you're like, Sci-Fi? What's that? It was a cable channel. It still is a cable channel, and you need to have cable package, or let's say the Hulu TV, YouTube TV. You need some kind of pack sling. They'll give you the Sci-Fi, but it's not like you can just get a standalone version like Peacock. But anyway, that's out there. We're covering that, and we're getting ready for Dexter. That's coming this week, Dexter Resurrection. So, yeah, if you're interested in that, then definitely check out the TV Terminal. There we go. YouTube.
Good stuff. Right. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Oh, yeah. So first and foremost, shout out to Mr. Gary Swaby and Mr. Anthony Frazier. We did have a discussion about the Xbox layoffs. That currently is on the website and on the YouTube channel. I actually have been experimenting with creating more video content, and I actually have 2 videos dropping this week, starting tomorrow and Wednesday. One of those videos is related to something I said about Ninja Gaiden. So look for that. The video dropping on Wednesday is related to Gears E-Day, the game that we did not see at Summer Game at the Xbox Showcase. So, again, those will be on the Coalition Gaming YouTube channel as well as the website. So definitely check out the videos. Let me know your thoughts. I'm looking for some comments, some feedback. So, yeah, but stay tuned. That, and there will be a whole bunch of other preview stuff coming to the website as well this week. So stay tuned.
And Manny, what you got?
Oh, like I said, as this is the
the home stretch before MGS Con coming in August. I'm going to be prepping for that show. Going to be posting up some fun new artwork. Going to be have at the show. MGS, for those of you who don't know, MGS Con is a Metal Gear Solid convention. It is happening in California. Just look at MGS Con. You know, on Twitter, Instagram, just type it in your Google and you'll find it. I'm a special guest, as well as Ruby Taki, a good buddy cosplayer that I know. There's also, they're going, being that we're so close to, you know, in August is Metal, the following week after MGS Con, Metal Gear Solid Delta is coming out. So at the show, they literally have all of the voice actors from that game, from David Hayter to Laurie Allen to, you know, everybody who ever, you know, in that thing. So it's going to be a pretty big show. So that's coming in August, and I'm prepping for it. Also, as always, I have a bunch of nostalgia projects that have all been slowly but surely coming out. One to be talking about that's going to be coming out really soon is going to be Power Rangers Prime cover that I drew. Keep an eye out for that one, as well as obviously there's a bunch of other covers that me and Kari are nostalgic. So yeah, going on.
In the streets. All right.
In the streets.
Good stuff. All right, man. We're out of here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
My Discord Nitro subscription got canceled and expired, so no more soundboards for the foreseeable future, but you never know when it'll come back.
All right. Adam Vale.
But that was, I thought you could just dump your own, do your own little soundboard.
Gotta That's have it. Something.
There you go. You see? It's there.
I think that was Chris. That was Chris.
Oh, Chris has one. See, now everybody has it. There you go.
Occasionally, Chris does the sound effects on the lows, and people think it's me. No, Chris has got some of them too.
You know,
Chris is a bit nitro.
All right, Brett Murdoch.
Glad to know it off, Brett and chat.
There you go. And of course, Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right, guys, you already know we will be back on Thursday. Later.
Peace. Laters.